Future with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.
Hi, I'm Adam.
And I'm Sabine. Welcome to the 29th episode of Robots.
Today's show revolves around biomimetic robots, or robots designed to look just like animals or other biological systems. Our first guest, Marcus Fisher, is head of corporate design at Festo, a world leader in automation technology.
Festo also looks into how technology from these biomimetic robots can transfer back to actual products. To cover this subject, we'll be talking to Victor Zykov, whose cubic modular robots, the Molecubes, went from the labs at Cornell to Festo. But first, since Adam and Christine are globetrotting, I'll be giving you the latest news in robotics. Bioengineers at Duke University have developed a surgical robot that can autonomously locate tiny pieces of metal, like the shrapnel resulting from grenades, mines, or EEDs, and guide a needle to its exact location in a patient's body. The system uses an electromagnet to induce micro-vibrations in a metallic fragment, which can then be detected using a novel 3D ultrasound technology. With the object's exact coordinates established, the system can automatically guide a tiny needle to its location to extract it. The researchers hope that their proof of concept will be taken up by a military medical program. They also expect that their work will find further use in other medical procedures, such as placing and removing radioactive seeds used in the treatment of prostate and other cancers. According to a new study by technology research company NextGen, the global personal robots market will grow from $1.16 billion in 2009 to $5.26 billion in 2015. The report predicts telepresence robots overtaking the toy robot market, with applications ranging from interaction between family members, remote monitoring of pets, or second homes. It also foresees a large increase of telepresence in the medical field, with health personnel increasingly providing help from a remote location, with typical tasks including reminders to take medication on time or guiding patients through blood pressure or blood sugar measurements. To mark the London Science Museum's 100th birthday, researchers from the Interdisciplinary Center for Computer Music Research at the University of Plymouth have programmed two robots to sing Happy Birthday. The robots can learn new music by listening to humans or to each other and by associating sounds heard with those produced by themselves and others. Two robots put together start singing randomly, but soon start to repeat only parts of their own song that are similar to those produced by their partners. Given enough time, the two robots begin to do it. To learn more about the autonomous shrapnel-removing robot, prediction for the personal robotics market, and for the most eerie version of Happy Birthday you've ever heard, tune into our website at www.robotspodcast.com.
Festo is one of the world's leaders in automation, with thousands of employees around the world and products ranging from solenoids, valves, and cylinders to integrated automation solutions. It's their recent dive into mobile robotics, however, with stunning demonstrators such as the Aqua Penguin and the Air Ray, that has got them a place in our show. We'll be speaking with Marcus Fisher, head of the Bionic Learning Network project at Festo, about how designing mobile robots that mimic nature can help advance the field of automation. Hi, Marcus. Welcome to the Robots Podcast.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Klaptuch.
Can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, my name is Marcus Fisher. I'm the head of corporate design at Festo. Festo is a company which produces automation and automation technologies and also learning systems for automation. We call this field didactics. And Festo is a worldwide company with about 13,000 employees. And we are located in 176 countries all over the world.
As head of corporate design at Festo, you are in charge of several different projects, including the Bionic Learning Network. Tell us a bit about your post and this project.
Yeah, that's correct. My task at head of corporate design is we are looking from architecture, interior architecture, product design, graphic design, software and online design, and that had to be all one brand. Mm-hmm. And one single a look or a single design. And beside that, I'm organizing the Bionic Learning Network. Within the Bionic Learning Network, we try to learn from nature. Also in English-speaking countries, you talk about biomimetics. Mm-hmm. It's the more common word in Great Britain and also in the U.S., biomimetics. And so it could also named as a biomimetics learning network.
Okay. Now, as you said, Festo is a big automation company with thousands of employees. Why robotics? Why mobile robotics, and especially this biologically inspired type designs for a company that generally does automation?
So in the field of automation, for instance, we have linear axes, and we can put them together. Two linear axes gave a X, Y portal, for instance, or X, Y, Z portal. And if we have this state of the robotics, so we can go to make tripods. And now we introduced at the Bionic Learning Network the flexible tripod. And there we looked in the field of the biology, for instance, the fish's fin or the tail of the fish's fin, and we can learn a lot from the fish for a flexible automation, flexible and also adaptive automation.
Okay, so the main idea is to have more flexible type systems as opposed to the, I guess, the hard metallic stiff systems that are used these days.
Yeah, in former times, the engineering field, it was mostly static and rigid. And so we think it should be more flexible, adaptive, and we think that is really a good possibility to look what was done by the evolution and to look there what solutions could be transferred into the field of engineering and design. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I understand a lot of your prototypes are based on real animals, such as penguins or manta rays or that kind of. Or many different other animals. Are you just trying to recreate these animals to have exactly the same function, or are you more trying to study only certain aspects of these animals?
So we'd like to try to study certain aspects of these animals. We gave us the task to rebuild these animals at first time, and we get so-called technology concept. And what we have learned in this technology concept, we transfer it to the field of automation, and then we make prototypes, and these prototypes are inspired by the technology concept.
Okay, let's speak maybe more specifically about one of your projects. For example, the aqua penguin. Can you maybe describe, since this is just audio, can you describe in words what this robot looks like?
So we have a robot or three robots, and they look like really real penguins. They are modeled on the Adélie penguins, and these these penguins are swimming in an aquarium, and the size is 2 by 2 meter, and the length is 6 meter, and they are swimming autonomously. At the fair, we presented the aqua penguins at the fair, and there some people came and they said to us, we have to put plants into the aquarium because they thought the penguins had been or are real ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And the aqua penguin has a lithium ion polymer accumulator, and this gave the energy to swim up to 7 hours.
Wow, not
and, this lithium ion polymer accumulator drives an electric motor, and the electric motor makes the wings flapping up and down.
Okay, so tell us maybe about how it moves in the water.
So it moves by flapping the wings, and we have also on the fish's tail or on the penguin's tail or on the nose, we have this tripod system. There are 3 glass fiber rods, and they are connected in a pyramid form. And so the nose can curve, and it can swim around a corner very easily. And this pyramid form with 3 glass fiber rods, we use this at the bionic tripod to have a tripod system and to move adaptive gripper with the tripod system.
So is this kind of the technology transfer that you were talking about?
Yeah, this was the technology transfer from the aqua penguin, real penguins, aqua penguin, and then a bionic tripod with an adaptive gripping system.
Okay, and that's something you can then use in automation, I guess.
Yeah, this nose of the penguin is derived from the fish's fin, from, for instance, the tail of the fish fin. If you put this fin through the water, it curves in the direction of the force, and therefore the fish goes very effectively through the water while curving his fin through the impact. And we use this structure. It's called fin ray structure.
Mm-hmm.
And this fin ray structure, we use it also in the nose of the penguin in a 3-dimensional way, and also use it in the bionic tripod.
Okay. Now, would you consider this type of swimming more efficient than using a propeller, for example, because there's already a lot of underwater robots and most of them are more or less, I guess, torpedoes with a propeller in the back? How would you compare the efficiency of this new system you guys have?
So we had done these projects in about, the aqua penguin was done in about 24 months, and we didn't test it in sort of effectiveness, because it wasn't our main goal to make underwater robots.
Okay.
So our main goal is to develop automation technologies, and therefore we make the shift from the penguin to the bionic tripod. So we didn't measure the effectiveness of the aqua penguin. So the form is derived from the penguin's form, and the penguin form is known as the best or a really good form in hydrodynamic flow. So we have learned this from nature, but whether propelling or flapping wings is the most effective, I can't say it.
Can you tell us maybe about the automation of this penguin? The autonomousness of this penguin, I guess. I understand they have some sort of embedded sensors, communication. How do they control themselves?
There are ultrasound sensors in it, and like dolphins or bats, they send out ultrasound signals, and the ultrasound signals will be transmitted and come back, and the aqua penguins, they know where they are, and they don't collide with each other, and they see the glass, for instance, or even the air or the surface of the water with ultrasound. And they are programmed that they swim autonomously in this water basin.
There seems to be some collective behavior that you're investigating, having a lot of penguins at the same time. Is this just limited to avoiding each other, or are you actually looking at systems where they can cooperate together?
So we have done that with our other project. It was called Aquacelli. And there we had this collective behavior programmed. So the goal of the aqua jellies had to be in most distance to another aqua jelly, and they had a second goal. It was there was a charging station up on the top of the aquarium, and they talked to each other. Which aqua jelly had the lessest filling of the battery?
Mm-hmm. What are you trying to learn when it comes to automation, when you're looking at these types of collective behavior? Is it purely just kind of scientific interest, or do you think this can somehow transfer?
We think in the future, in the field of automation, robots will work together. And for instance, if one fails, they will organize in a different way and do also the work. So it will be good to them to talk and to have collective behavior. And this is one goal that we see in the field of automation, that in the future the factories had to be much more efficient and also much more adaptive and much more flexible. So, and there is the collective behavior is a good thing to have, and to have it in the robots.
Now, all this work in mobile robotics from Festo, and you're speaking about factories that are more adaptable, is this maybe a sign that Festo is going to move into more mobile robot-based systems? We've done an interview, for example, where they had a warehouse system with its Kiva Systems that does this, and they have a warehouse where there's it's all automated, and there's a bunch of a few hundred even robots, wheeled robots, that come and go get all the pieces from the warehouse. Is this what Festo is imagining in the future, and have you already done some work in that direction?
We think it's good to work together the humans and the robots, and I don't think we have in the future factories without humans. So we think it should always be an interaction, to have interaction between the humans and the robots, and we think that it's a good way to have robots and to work together with them. But at the moment, there are a lot of constraints. For instance, you have to house the robots, and they aren't flexible and they aren't adaptive. And we think to work together or to have assistant or to have a third hand, it is much more the way, and not to have a whole boxes or whole industries without humans.
Okay.
So we think it's more human-centered and more collaboration and collaboration work with robots and not without humans.
Now, we've seen jellyfish from Festo. We've seen penguins. We've seen manta rays. What are we seeing next? What's the next animal that you're going to try to mimic?
So
you can tell us without it being
sure.
A big secret.
You have to come to the next Hannover Fair in 2010 and look what's up.
Okay, I see.
So we try to make new things. But I learned that it is better to have new things and present them then, and not to talk about in advance of projects that I haven't done. So,
fair enough.
Yeah,
fair enough. Well, thank you very much for being on the show and
yeah,
for your beautiful robots that are always flying around and swimming around. And hopefully, we'll see a lot of them soon.
Thank you very much.
Victor Zykov is now OnDeck Systems head at the Kite Assist Institute in California. Previously, he conducted a PhD and postdoc at Cornell University in New York on self-repairing and self-reproducing robots, resulting in publications in Science and Nature. One of his favorite building blocks, the Molecubes, are now commercialized by Festo as educational robots. But in the future, they may just be the molecules building up adaptable factories. Hi, Victor. Welcome to Robots.
Hi, Sabine. Thank you for inviting me.
Can you please present yourself to our listeners?
I'm Victor Zykov. I worked at Cornell for 5 years as a graduate student, where I graduated from with a doctorate degree in mechanical engineering. One of the systems that I developed there was Molecubes, modular robotic system. Initial exploration started with trying to build a robotic system capable of self-reproduction. This is a very easy thing to do for most biological systems, most animals and insects, but as far as robots are concerned, we have not seen much of self-reproduction in robotics so far. And if you imagine, that would be a fantastic tool to allow robots to work for longer periods of time in changing environments, to allow them better adapt to new tasks and requirements from, for example, the new environmental conditions. The goal for the initial project was to try and demonstrate that it is at all feasible for a sophisticated artificial mechanical system to build its own complete, fully functional, morphological, and operational copy, meaning that the robot will look similar to the original and that it will have the same set of functions as the original. So if you have ever seen the original Molecubes movie, you will be able to notice that the first robot that I have actually built by hand builds its own copy, which looks very similar to the original, and then a copy shows that it has the same set of functions as the original robot by building its second copy. So this project became very popular in the robotic community, and there were a lot of questions about whether or not other research laboratories and students in other universities can apply the same concept in their research. And as a response to all those requests, at Cornell, myself and my advisor, Professor Hod Lipson, we decided to design a lower cost and easier to operate a version of Molecubes, which we also called Molecubes version 2. And this is something that we are very happy now to observe how it proceeded into the product for supported by the company Festo, which has been recently demonstrated during their Hanover Fair in 2009. This project was initiated thanks to support of Festo Educational Division, specifically thanks to support of Dr. Herman Klinger at Festo, who was very kind. He was very interested in the initial development of our self-reproducing robots, visited our lab after he learned about this project, and he suggested that we prepare a proposal for research that would be interesting to students in vocational training programs in Germany and potentially around the world. So we prepared this proposal where a Molecube system would consist of a set of different types of robots, of different types of modules. The most widely used robot in the system is an actuator. It just has one degree of freedom as all of the modules in the original Molecube system. It can rotate two of its halves relative to one another around the longest axis of the cube. It has connectors on all of its six sides such that other modules can be connected to them, and connectors have the capability of transferring both electrical power and communication, and they are also strong enough to keep the robots together in one piece. And we tried to make the second revision of Molecubes as simple and easy to manufacture for anyone who is interested in robotics as possible. We developed also, in collaboration with Festo, we developed www.molecubes.org, which is an open source robotics portal where anyone who is interested in building Molecubes can learn about how this can be done. They're all designs, electronic designs, mechanical designs, software, firmware, everything is described on this portal in a very easy to understand how to do fashion. For example, a page on constructing the Molecubes has all the pictures and descriptions of components and procedures for manufacturing the plastic parts, and recommendations on acquisition where we can find some components that we cannot manufacture, such as bearings and motors, right on one page.
What would one of these Molecubes look like?
The concept of modular robotic is quite captivating for a lot of roboticists. The idea behind the modular robots is that how can we build a Lego-type set for robotics where you can just, from a few components, build a robot for whichever task you might be interested in and then program it to operate in a desired fashion. So ideally, we would be able to compose a robot for any arbitrary task that a user might be interested in. In our little proposal video, which can also be seen at molecubes.org, you can see that just by using a set of cubical modules and by attaching it to, for example, an external controller, which is shown as a cell phone in there, we can build four different systems. And in just 1 minute, they show, for example, a robot that controls a tracking camera, another robot that has four legs and walks on the surface, third robot that has wheels attached to it and operates as a little toy car, and finally some custom robot that can help do some chores around the house. And these are just a few simple ideas on where the robots can be used. And really the primary goal for the research, from the research standpoint in this project, was to try and provide this robotic substrate to a very wide audience who don't necessarily have a whole lot of experience in robotics but are interested in exploring, in playing with them, and then learn from the user of what could be the interesting applications for this type of system, because it is the users who really define the purpose for robots. It is us who who tell the designers what would be a useful application for, no matter either it's a robotic system which is modular or it's a fixed robotic system that might be used in industry. One interesting application that was proposed by Festo was actually trying to build an industrial reconfigurable plant from the little molecules, where imagine you have a very large building, the size of a hangar building, and you just bring a truck of your molecules and you offload them into that building and then just send them a program. For example, today we would like to manufacture desks, and then robots build from themselves a manufacturing line for desks. You need to provide them with the raw materials such as the surfaces of the desks, the lumber, and some maybe couplings. And then the other day you tell them, okay, I want to manufacture pipes, and then robots disassemble the lines that they use for manufacturing of desks and build something which they can apply for pipe manufacturing. So this is a fairly distant perspective. Opportunities. However, in the short term, we would like just to understand what are the good modes of application of these robots. And the other useful feature for this robotic system is because modular robotics and robotics in general, they essentially represent a fusion of different very different areas in science and technology. For example, molecules, in order to build and design and operate them, they would require from scratch, they would require a lot of knowledge in mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, computer science, software engineering, programming, firmware, controls, a variety of different areas of engineering. However, it is not necessary for the user to know all of that now that the designs are all completely available and that it is possible just to, for example, follow the instructions to build the molecules and then look at where you would like to use it and how you would like to apply it. And this is the, our contribution that we're trying to bring to the world of robotics and just hobbies.
I really find interesting this envisioned application that Festo has, because they were really looking to have a flexible, adaptable, and robust systems. What do you think would be the challenges to reach these applications in the future?
There are a lot of challenges, and this is one of the reasons why the system was designed, and we tried to make it really low cost, so as many as possible robotics institutes and research organizations, just hobbyists, could participate in playing with it and just exploring its potential features. Some of the challenges include, you know, really basic problems, such as how can we incorporate into such small level a lot of complexity, including transfer of power and mechanical strength in between the modules, transfer of communication. What are the control challenges? What is the best way to arrange the control between the modules in an assembled configuration? Would that be a centralized control, or is that a distributed control, or do we need to assign specific roles to different parts of the assembled body such that they can have a hierarchical control structure inside of the assembly? A lot of problems there really concern very, very simple, basic things, as it might seem for the looker for a person who looks at this from the outside. For example, if you have seen the movie Transformers or its second part, it's amazing. You can see a very large robot that is assembled from a very tiny little component, for example, the size of the robots and the components that they represent in a disassembled state is very different. The problem with building something like this from realistic systems is that large moving structures require a lot of degrees of freedom. And by assembling robots together, you can either build only a tree or snake configurations. And if you want to make it arbitrarily long, then each of the robots which is used in this tree or snake configuration has to carry the weight of maybe up to half or more than half of the structure. And you can imagine how strong the supports might have to be. So different strategies for robot assembly and different geometries, different kinematics inside of the modules would be required to implement something like that. At this time, we're just the research community is at the stage where they're trying to increase the morphological variation among the shapes that the robots can build. One of the simple tasks is, as it might seem from the outside, is cell reconfiguration. And from the point of view of robotic researchers, this is, in fact, a very difficult and challenging task. It includes solving problems such as finding and mating connectors on the adjacent units, and this is not a trivial problem at all. How do robots communicate with each other when they're not connected in order to transfer each other information about where the other connector is located and how it can be mated to, and what is the reasonable way to mate to another connector, and whether or not it should be happening. So all those questions are a subject of active research in the module robotics community, and at the moment there is about 30 laboratories worldwide, and this number is growing, who are interested in developing the ability of robots to comprise into different shapes and execute a variety of potentially useful, interesting functions. But one of the key questions remains the same. Now that, for example, imagine we have a robotic system that can be built into all kinds and types of shapes, the question is, what is a useful application for such system? And this is the question that needs to be answered, not probably by the robotic community, but by the audience, by people who would like to play with these robots, by people who may have some application ideas in mind for these robots.
Thanks, Victor, for being here with us on Robots.
It's a pleasure. Please stay interested in module robotics, and I'm sure there will be a lot of new interesting applications which are coming up in the next few years.
Finally, to wrap up, the winner of last episode's competition on Who is Your Favorite Movie Robot is Ike and his favorite robot, Hal, from 201 A Space Odyssey. If you don't think Hal is a robot, read up on Ike's post. You'll see things a bit differently. Ike will be receiving a sci-fi DVD or Blu-ray of his choice.
That's it for this episode of Robots. For more information on our guests, visit our website at www.robotspodcast.com. And of course, don't forget to stop by the forum for discussion on today's show and other hot topics in robotics.
Thanks for listening. Hope to see you in 2 weeks.
Mimic Nature with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.